the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave.
Come on in.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
This morning, the next song we're about to do is kind of new, and we hope that we can worship God as we thank Him for the cross this morning. Let's do that together.
Cleansing.
flow. And now I know your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Oh, crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. I am lifted up.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Son of God. Oh, the darling of heaven, crucified.
Give Jesus a hand. This song says, worthy is the Lamb. And the question that we ask ourselves is, what makes him worthy? What makes this Lamb worthy? And the one thing that makes him worthy is the fact that he went on the cross and died for the sin of the world. And whenever we come in the presence of God, it is the first thing that bears heavily on our hearts is the fact that Jesus went on that cross and died for our sins. And so that brings us in his presence. And we come this morning acknowledging that fact, that his death on the cross brings redemption and eternal life. And so the scripture lets us know that if anyone says he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning we come with these thoughts in mind, and then we look to God for mercy, and we look to him for forgiveness. This is the moment to do that. The words we spoke through the weeks, and the things that have gone through our minds, and the things that we did in our actions that are against God's will, we come and we commit them to him, and we confess them, and we seek his mercy now. Let's do that together. Lord, we bring to you this morning our hearts, and we come asking and seeking your mercy. We ask you, Lord, to come into our hearts this morning and visit with us. And as you visit this morning, Lord, every word, every thought, every action on our part that doesn't bring glory and honor to your name, we ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us and wash us from those sins and bring us before you holy and righteous through your Son, Jesus Christ. So that as we come in worship this morning, Lord, our worship would be accepted in your presence. And as we come, Father God, and you accept us this morning, you cleanse us, God, and we come in the beauty of your holiness and endure in your presence.
We pray, God, that you would give to us and grant to us just as you have promised this morning. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. Let us worship in the next song.
may be seated. Good morning once again. There was one other announcement that I failed to make, actually two. The first one is, especially for all the visitors with us today, we have what's called a connection card. It's in front of you in the pew. Please fill one of these out. This way we can keep in contact with you and you with us through text messages, emails, various things. We have a lot of cool things to offer, also our Facebook page. And place it in the offering plate later today. Second of all, I got word from John Pooley that his son got in a little bit of trouble. So we just ask for you, everybody here, to keep John Pooley and his family in our prayers this morning. So thank you. Our first lesson for today is taken from Genesis chapter 18, starting with the second half of verse 10 and ending on 14. And it reads, "Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'After I am worn out, my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?' Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is this saying, or is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Our second lesson for today comes to us from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, starting in verse 21. And it reads, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what has suffered for you, and what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for all ages and generations, but that is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." And now, will everybody please rise for this? I almost said for the singing of our entrance hymn. I do the first service way too much. For the reading of our gospel lesson for today. Today's gospel lesson comes to us from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, which starts on page 1028. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Here ends our gospel lesson for today. And now let's be seated for our children's message.
The children come up.
Andrew, go.
I'm going to sit down with you guys today, and you guys are going to understand why. Anybody know what this is? It is a camera. This is kind of a really cool camera because I can put it on a couple of different things, and I can control the camera, or I can put it on something, and it'll control itself. Really weird. I'm going to show you. So I want to take a picture up there. Promise, it's really cool. Okay. See that? What do you see? Okay, someone sees a cross. What else do we see? Lots of colors. What else do we see?
Light.
There's lots of different things on here. Now, if I look at it a little bit closer, I see the screen. I see the cameras for the screens up there. I see the wood. It's kind of focused on everything, right? Okay. Don't worry. I push buttons, so it does make sense. Now what do you see? Wait, let me push that, otherwise you're not going to see it.
Dark.
It's darker. I pushed buttons and it made it a lot darker. Do you see the cameras there in that one?
No.
No. Apparently it works better with the different lights. So we just see kind of a little bit of the color. It's a lot darker. That kind of focused on everything. This just focuses on what?
Okay.
Just the color up there, the stained glass window, right? Now, there's a button up here called auto. I'm going to press that one next. What did that focus on? Can you see everything?
A little.
You can see it's a little bit. You can see that there's some color around the outside, but mostly you see the stained glass, right? When I did this one, I was in complete control of the focus. I wanted to see all the different colors. The color on the stained glass, the color around, everything up there. I was in control of this one too, wasn't I? But it didn't focus very well. I focused only on the glass, not the stuff all around it, right? And this one, it was autofocus. So that means the camera was the focus. Today in our gospel reading, it talked about Mary and Martha. And they sat down with Jesus, and one of them sat down with Jesus, and one of them was rushing and focusing on everything else. Now, Mary was so focused on Jesus. Just like in the camera when I took the picture where I focused on all of the stuff going on there, I wasn't like Mary, focused on one thing. I was like Martha, focused on everything over there, right? We need to make sure that we are focused on one thing. And who should we be focused on?
Jesus.
Jesus, smarty pants. So we need to make sure that we focus on Jesus. And some of the ways that we can focus on Jesus is reading the Bible or listening to the Bible in case we don't know how to read or we get caught up on a word, because there's some pretty big words in there that even I still get really caught up on. We can pray. So we can make sure that Jesus is the focus of our life. Sound like a plan? Okay. Can you pray with me? I'll say a line, you say it back. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for being the focus.
Thank you for being the focus.
That we need in our life.
That we need in our life.
Help us keep focused on you.
Help us keep focused on you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Yvonne, for that very beautiful illustration this morning. Well, the Lord be with you. So this morning, I bring to all of you grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us this morning here in worship. Well, one of the most serious concerns of the church today is the weariness that many Christians have experienced or are experiencing in this pilgrim journey that we all are on. We consider the Christian race as a pilgrim journey. And this weariness has led to a lack of interest in anything that looks like church related. This weariness has left many used to be Christian discouraged, bitter, angry, frustrated, and loaded with the burdens of sin. Loaded with the burden of sin in the sense that sin becomes very meaningless to us. And we become burdened because we are not taking those burdens to the Lord in prayer and to church. The question that the church has been seeking answer to for decades now is, how can we get these folks to come back and stay on the journey without getting weary again? It's the question. And so in our quest to find the answer to the church's problem, many have come up with many step programs. Some of them have come up with 10 steps of a plan or programs in trying to address this question. And we find today also many modern technological attractions in churches today to try to attract people back to the church. And for some, it's the construction of newer or better looking sanctuaries for worship. The church, in so many aspects, is becoming more physical than spiritual. In so many aspects, the church has become more physical than spiritual. But with these many attempts, it still seems as though we are moving further away from the answer. With all of the attempts the people have made, why is this subject so important? One may ask. Well, it is important because the church is in a spiritual battle. And our lack of knowledge to what is going on is leading to the weariness that many are facing today. Many Christians today cannot give you a justifiable reason for leaving church. Many Christians cannot. And notice I use the word justifiable. And the reason why I use that word is because every Christian has a reason why they are not actively involved in church. If you ask, they'll give you some kind of reason, but I'm saying to you that the reason, whatever it is really not justifiable. It is not a justifiable reason for leaving, but when it really comes down to it, the deep-seated answer to that question is there is absolutely no interest whatsoever, no desire. There's no desire for God. There's no interest in church, and this is the reason why people walk away. So then, it brings us back to the question, why? Why is it that there is no desire or there is absolutely no interest? Why is it that with all of these 10 steps programs and these technological attractions and newer churches or better looking sanctuaries, people are still lacking interest? The question is why? And I got an answer. I want you to pay attention to this because this is an answer to this question. The answer is this: unless God is at work in us, all right? Unless God is at work in us, people will always be people. Unless God is working in our lives, in and through us, people will always be people. I like the illustration that was used by Yvonne this morning in the kids' sermon, where she talks about focusing on Jesus. And you can focus the camera on a particular thing and take that picture amidst all of the stuff that is around, okay? Sorry for that. So it's the same thing with us. So people today without God are not able to do the things of God. It has become very difficult. And people will always be people because why? With all of these advancements that we have made in the church and technologies we brought to the church and the newer buildings that we have built, people will come for a while and then they stop coming. And then the question comes back to why is it this way? Well, the reason why people are walking away because people will always be people unless God is dwelling inside of our hearts and he brings all the difference. Without him, we can't do it. Okay? We can't do it. And this is the reason why the rich are getting richer in a world that we find ourselves in. Why? Because today in today's world, you know, they are always bringing newer things to us because why? The physical or natural man, all right, will always be seeking for satisfaction. This natural and physical body we wear is always going to be seeking for satisfaction. It is never satisfied. No matter what you do, this natural body that we wear can never get satisfied. All right? And this is why the rich are always getting richer because why? They keep selling new things to us. They bring us new cars and tell us, come back and bring the old one and we give you a better car. They give you a better cologne or perfume. And you go on our tables, we got it spread out with different kind of fragrances. Because the body is trying to look for satisfaction. We want bigger homes. You know, we want better jobs. And we keep going. You get this job today, you are all excited about it. And you start the job. And the next thing you know, you don't like it. You want something else. And the body is never satisfied. And this is an ongoing thing. The only way we get satisfaction is when God is dwelling in us. That's the only way we get satisfaction. Without him, we don't get it. All right, so we always be looking for that. So from our gospel reading this morning, it's a story we speak in part to the weariness that many Christians today are facing, which is leading to their lack of interest in spiritual things. And it is the story about our Lord's visit at the home of Martha and Mary. So Jesus visits this house, and while he is there, the sister Martha is in the kitchen. She's doing things. She's working, preparing, and doing all this stuff while Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ being fed spiritually because she knows that his visit is only for a short time, and she's trying to get all that she can get at that moment while she's with him. But Martha is in the kitchen, and she's busy working. And next thing you know it, she comes and she tells the Lord that this lady is sitting at his feet when there are a lot of things in the kitchen to do. And so she's very upset about it. And she says, but Lord, why wouldn't you allow Mary to come and help me do the work in the kitchen? And Jesus says, look, Martha, you are worried about so many things. All right, just like us today, you're worried about too many things around you. He says, but what Mary is doing right now, she's receiving the best, all right? And so that applies to all of us today. So permit me for a few minutes to address the issue of weariness as I speak to you on the topic rest area. Rest area. The theme doesn't make any sense, but it's going to as we go through it. Rest area. For those of you who have traveled out of state using the interstate highway, you have noticed that there are rest areas within about every half hour on the road. There's an exit that you can take and rest, you know, and you could take a nap, eat, gas up your car, use the restroom, stretch out because you've been driving for a long time. And so the benefit of doing that is that you are strengthened to continue the journey that you are on. There is a danger in not stopping. If you don't stop at all, you know, while you're traveling, there is a danger that you might get so tired driving and you may fall asleep on the wheel and cause a serious accident. Or your car might run out of gas if you don't stop. And refuel the car, and then your trip is going to come to an end and become a disaster, all right? So it is on the express highway of the Christian pilgrim journey. God designed rest areas for us, But the problem is, like Martha, too many Christians try to drive straight on to heaven without making use of the rest areas and wind up crushing down into the pit of hell. Many Christians have done that. And Jesus says that we should continue on this journey to the end. He says, those who continue on the journey to the end, the same shall be saved. So this is not a journey that ends at a particular time. We need to continue on the journey that we have been called to. So Jesus himself, while on the earth, on his earthly journey, all right, made use of the rest areas. In the Bible, so many times it tells you in the gospel that he went into a solitary place. He went into a solitary place. That is talking about a rest area, an area of quietness. Jesus always went into a solitary place. And so he has designed it for all of us because he doesn't want us to get weary on the journey while we are going. But the question is, what does it look like? What does the rest area for the church look like? You see, we have been called into this world. We were born into this world because we were called into this world by God. And every single person under the authority of my voice have been called into this world for a particular reason. Some of us haven't discovered what it is yet. Some of us know what it is, and we are pursuing it. Let me let you know this morning that your vocation is equally important as mine. God has called me to be a pastor. And he probably called you to be something else. Whether it be a janitor, it's the work that God has called you in this world to do. And everything that we do affects people's lives in a positive way. No matter how you like it or you don't like it, it affects people in a very positive way when we do the things that God has called us to do. All right, so all of our works are very important in this life. But God also, as we carry on our jobs, our tasks, God wants us to, at a point, go back and rest. But what is this rest like? The rest is not a rest where you go on vacation. But it's a rest where you come and you rest in him. All right? Resting in Jesus is what I'm talking about. He says what? He says, those who take my yoke upon them will find what? Rest in me. So that's the kind of rest I'm talking about, is the rest that Jesus brings as we rest in him. The world cannot give this to you, my friends. The world did not give us salvation. The world cannot give us the peace that Jesus brings to us. That peace can only be given through him. All right? So he wants us to rest in him. But how do we rest in God if we are running away from God? The way we rest in God, my friends, is by being here this morning. You are right now in his rest. This is a way in which we rest in God. When we come to church on Sunday and we sit and listen to the word of God and we worship God in the beauty of his holiness, we are resting in God. And as we hear the word of God, what it does is it brings courage and strength to us. And it helps us to understand that God cares about us. And it places us in a position to continue to do the things that God has called us to do as we hear his word. We grow in thereby. All right? So it's important, not only Sunday, but in another rest area would be like Bible studies. All right? Every Christian should be in a Bible studies and be in a group where people are studying the Word of God together so that you can grow and be strengthened by the Word of God. Every Christian needs to do that. You cannot only depend on coming to church on Sunday. You see, the folks in the church who get so busy. We are busy with everything in the church. We are in the women's group, in the men's group. We are on this ministry board, on this team, and we are working and working and working. But we don't find time to spend time with God. All right? And at a certain point, you get burned out and probably walk out and just forget about everything. It is so important that every Christian be involved in some kind of Bible studies. Listen to me. Hear me out. This is so important. It's important that you spend time with God personally, doing a fasting and praying to God, or spending your personal devotion time with God. These are very important things that the church needs to do if we are going to continue on with God. Remember the story of Peter in the Bible when he was on the boat and Jesus was walking on the water. And the Bible says when Peter saw this thing, it looked so amazing to him, fantastic. And he calls out, Lord, let me come to you. Jesus said, come. All right? And as he gives the command, Peter steps on the water and he's walking on water. He says, this is amazing. He's looking at Jesus. He's going toward Jesus. The next thing you know it, he starts to look down at the water, you know, and look at what he was doing. And at that point, the Bible says he started to sink. And the moment he started to sink, he had to look back up at Jesus and shout, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabbed him and said, oh, you have little faith. You see, our faith becomes diminished when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and start looking at all of the things around us. We have to remind ourselves, my friends, that if we're going to grow in our faith, that if we're going to remain steadfast in God, if we're going to remain strong in the things that God has called us to do, we have to keep our focus and keep our eyes on Him and Him alone and nobody else. So we do that through these various means, through Bible studies, through coming to church, through counseling. There are some Christians that need to be counseled. You need to call your pastor, talk to him, because you're going through problems. You're going through spiritual problems, and you need to be counseled out of those things. And the only way it's going to happen is if you sit and become counseled and shown the Word of God and shown what is right for your life. That's the only way it's going to happen. Apart from that, it's not going to happen, all right? So we find rest in counseling. We find rest in family devotions. We found rest in personal devotions and all those things. So just how we become strengthened for our physical journey, so it is when we rest in God. So here are some of the benefits we get when we rest in God. One, it helps us forget our cares. In this world, there are so many troubles. We carry burdens upon ourselves. And many times you talk to folks, they'll be like, you know, when I get things straightened up, I'm going to go back to church or I'm going to go back to God. And you will never get things straightened up, folks, because we live in a troubled world. Jesus is in this world, you will have trouble. So let me tell you now, if you are not in a trouble right now, it means you are headed towards one. If you just got out of one, watch out, another one is on the way. That's how this life is. You're always going to be taking care of something while you are on this earth. So if you're waiting to get your life squared out before coming to God, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So look at the text here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not in some situation, but in every situation, the Bible says, you see, because sometimes we get up and say, you know, there are some things we think we need to carry to God and something that we need to take care of ourselves. But the Bible says in everything, all right? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, says, and sister, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So whatever you have learned, all right, or received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. That's the word, put it into practice. That's what life is about. It's about the habits that we cultivate, all right? The decisions and choices we make, all right? And so you see someone out there who is on drugs. They're addicted because they started a practice that led into a habit, all right? And so it's the same thing. So Paul is saying, as Christians, what we need to do is put into practice the things that we have cultivated. Put it into practice. All right, if you don't put it into practice, it doesn't become a habit. So in order to love God, you have to put it into practice, put loving God into practice. And that's what the scripture is telling. So when we do these things, it helps us forget about our cares. The next thing is it helps us feed our souls. When we're resting in God, we feed our souls. Look in 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, like newborn babies. It's not saying we are newborn babies, but it says like newborn babies, all right? Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And then it says, now that you have tested that the Lord is good. Okay? So the scripture is telling us here to crave spiritual things. And it says like newborn baby. And the baby is born, And the baby has an inborn tendency to eat. The baby doesn't have to get taught how to eat. But there is a craving inside that baby to eat. And instantly, immediately, the baby starts to suck on milk. And that's what the Bible is saying. So as newborn Christians, the scripture is telling you and I that we have inside of us God and the Spirit of God. And so that spirit brings about a desire for God. And that desire causes us to continue on in God, to crave spiritual things, to desire the Word of God, to desire to live by the Word of God. And that's what the text is talking about this morning. So as we do that, we feed our souls. You see, the soul of man is like a jar with dirty water in it. So when God comes into our lives, his plan is to cleanse that jar and make it clear and clean. And the way he does it is like we come under his mercy and he pours grace into that jar until it is cleaned. And he cleans us from sin. That's how it works. So it's like you take a dirty glass of water and you put it under the faucet and you turn it on. As the clean water pours into that glass, the dirty water is going to get out. And the glass is going to get clean. That's how it is. That's what God wants to do. That's what the Word of God does when it comes into our hearts. It brings about such cleansing as we go along. So it feeds our souls. Next thing is, it helps us focus on our priorities in life. Look in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, what it says. Now all has been heard, the writer says. Here is the conclusion of the matter. The conclusion is, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God and keep his commandments is the duty of all mankind. That's what should be the first thing on our priority list. We don't list everything else and make God last. God should be first because he created us for the purpose of serving him. That's our duty as Christians. All right? If you are a Christian and you have professed to be a Christian, the reason why God has adopted you into his family is so that you can serve the Lord. That's what it's about. That's our first and foremost reason. Last thing this morning, it helps us find ourselves. When we rest in God, it helps us find ourselves. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For the Spirit of God gives us The Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline." All right? A lot of people today are still trying to find out who they are. A lot of people in the world today don't know who they are, don't know that God has a plan for them, don't know that there is a purpose for living. And so they're just trying to figure a life. They wake up tomorrow morning, and they just take it as it comes. They don't have no expectations. Whatever comes is what it is. But God has a plan for us. And the only way that plan can be fully fulfilled is when we walk in the Spirit of God, when we walk in the will of God. He begins to expose to us what his true will, plan, and purpose is for our lives. I pray that we all remember as we sojourn that there is a cure for weariness. If you are tired of the Christian journey, there is a cure for it. And that cure is to rest in Jesus Christ, all right? Resting in Christ is the cure. We need to rest in God. We need to rest in God now because the world in which we live today promises no hope at all. And you know, Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 13, about all these things that would happen in the end. And it's like every week now we come to church, there is a new event that had happened out there in the world. All right? Last week, I think it was in Texas. This week now is in France. And 71 people were killed. And you all listen to the news. Okay? What that tells you and I that this world doesn't promise us anything. Let me tell you this, folks. The people who got killed in France or in Texas or wherever else in these shootings didn't plan to go that way. They went to those events with plans, you know, to do something else after they left those places. But just like all of us in this room, we have plans for the next day and the next hour. You know, that's how their lives were. But they did not walk away from that. They weren't able to fulfill the plans that they had. All right? So what that tells you and I is this world truly, honestly, is hopeless. We don't know what the next moment holds. No one in this room knows. And because we don't know it, that's why we need to place our trust and hope in someone who is able to keep us even when we fall. And that's the eternal life that Jesus brings to us through the cross. And this is why we come here. This is the reason for the church. This is the reason also that little Skylar is being baptized this morning. Because the Bible tells us that we come in sin. We were born into this world. Every person that was born of a woman was born in sin. And just as we were born in sin, God has given us the right to baptize. And through baptism, people receive eternal life. And so this morning, little Skylar is going to be presented to God and begin her journey under the guardianship of her parents and godparents this morning. And it is the duty of the parents to make sure that this child grows up into the stature of the fullness of God until she comes to the point where she's able to stand on her own. It is what God calls us to do. Lastly, our second reading for today reminds us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23b, but now it says, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical death, a body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. But the scripture says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Do not move. Keep steadfast in your faith. Because those who do, who endure to the end, the Bible says, the same shall be saved. We live in a world where we have the right to choose. All right? And to be here this morning, you had to make that choice to come. That's what life is about. It's about choices. All right? And the scripture is telling you to choose God. Because the world out there promises nothing. But when we abide in him, it means everything in the world, my friends. Because when we exit this earth, the Bible says, after death, there's what? Judgment. We stand before God one day. But when we stand before God, we want to stand there knowing that we are saved by grace and are ready to receive the redemption that he brings to us. So this morning, as you receive the word of God from this pulpit, I pray that the word of God will bring grace and strength and peace to your life and bring all of the encouragement that you need to become all that God wants you to be. Let us rise at this moment. Let us rise and look to God in prayer, because none of us stand accused when it comes, without being accused when it comes to not doing what God has called us to do. So this morning, let us all look to God in prayer. And if you're here this morning, you don't have eternal life. It is important that you receive that from Jesus Christ. Because, my friends, life is not by all the things you see right now. At some point, all of this stuff is going to vanish away. And the real you is going to stand before God. And the answer we give to the cross is what's going to take us through eternity. So this hour, we're going to be praying. And as we do that, open up your heart and give it to God if you haven't done that. Let us pray. Lord God, the glory, praise, and honor is to your name. I lift up your people to you this morning in prayer. And we pray, God, that your word will enter into the hearts of your people and bring about great transformation, Lord. A transformation, Father God, that's going to bring about great decisions for you. I pray covering them in your mercy and grace. And pray, Father God, for anyone who has not received eternal life in our midst this morning. My prayer, Father God, is that your word will enter their hearts this morning and that they will confess and come to the cross knowing that it is only through this cross that one receives redemption, and that redemption is what we need to have the hope of eternity for tomorrow. Bless us all now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Please be seated as we enter into the time of baptism. This morning, I will call out the parents and godparents, if there's any.
can pour it.
Can we have some bulletins for the parents and godparents? Because you're going to have to follow through in the order of service as we do the rites this morning. Oh, they have it. Thank you. Thank you. You guys can stay on this side. Yeah. All right. So in holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God, inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with him and his people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. So to the family and sponsors of the child, in Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the service of God's house and teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scripture and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in a covenant of her baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations? I therefore ask all of you here present to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith into which we baptize. Let us all rise as we do this part together. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Let me have her. There you go. It's a name. Skylar Natalia Grace Pullen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your little soul. Skylar, I yoke you with the yoke of Christ. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both on your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ crucified. Let us pray. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Skylar, spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the family of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for this child. Strengthen them in their own baptism, so they may share eternally with the child the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
And now let us continue our worship with the taking of our tithes and offerings.
Let us rise as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper this morning. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy of our fallen world, you give your one and only Son, that all those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in this Holy Supper. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which has been shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So drink of it as often as you do in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Please be seated. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. Let us rise. And let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this solitary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would